The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 9. The Worship of Trees. Section 2. Beneficent Powers of Tree Spirits. When a tree comes to be viewed, no longer as the body of the tree spirit, but simply as its abode which it can quit at pleasure, an important advance has been made in religious thought. Animism is passing into polytheism. In other words, instead of regarding each tree as a living and conscious being, man now sees in it merely a lifeless, inert mass, tenanted for a longer or short time by a supernatural being who, as he can pass freely from tree to tree, thereby enjoys a certain right of possession or lordship over the trees, and, ceasing to be a tree soul, becomes a forest god. As soon as the tree spirit is thus in a measure disengaged from each particular tree, he begins to change this shape and assume the body of man, in virtue of a general tendency of early thought to clothe all abstract spiritual beings in concrete human form. Hence in classical art the sylvan deities are depicted in human shape, their woodland character being denoted by a branch or some equally obvious symbol. But this change of shape does not affect the essential character of the tree spirit. The powers which he exercised as a tree soul incorporate in a tree, he still continues to wield as a god of trees. This I shall now attempt to prove in detail. I shall show, first, that trees considered as animate beings are credited with the power of making the rain to fall, the sun to shine, flocks and herds to multiply, and women to bring forth easily. And, second, that the very same powers are attributed to tree gods conceived as anthropomorphic beings or as actually incarnate in living men. First, then, trees or tree spirits are believed to give rain and sunshine. When the missionary Jerome of Prague was persuading the heathen Lithuanians to fell their sacred groves, a multitude of women besought the prince of Lithuania to stop him, saying that with the woods he was destroying the house of God from which they had been wont to get rain and sunshine. The Mundarius and Asin think that if a tree in the sacred grove is felled, the sylvan gods evince their displeasure by withholding rain. In order to procure rain, the inhabitants of Monior, a village in the Sagaing district of Upper Burma, chose the largest tamarind tree near the village and named it the haunt of the spirit, Nat, who controls the rain. Then they offered bread, coconuts, plantains, and fowls to the guardian spirit of the village and to the spirit who gives rain, and they prayed, "O Lord Nat, have pity on us poor mortals, and stay not the rain. Inasmuch as our offering is given ungrudgingly, let the rain fall day and night." Afterwards libations were made in honor of the spirit of the tamarind tree. And still later three elderly women, dressed in fine clothes and wearing necklaces and earrings, sang the rain song. Again, tree spirits make the crops to grow. Amongst the Mundarius every village has its sacred grove, and the grove deities are held responsible for the crops, and are especially honored at all the great agricultural festivals. The Negroes of the Gold Coast are in the habit of sacrificing at the foot of certain tall trees, and they think that if one of these were felled all the fruits of the earth would perish. The Galas dance in couples round sacred trees, praying for a good harvest. Every couple consists of a man and woman, who are linked together by a stick, of which each holds one end. Under their arms they carry green corn or grass. Swedish peasants stick a leafy branch in each furrow of their cornfields, believing that this will ensure an abundant crop. The same idea comes out in the German and French custom of the harvest May. This is a large branch or a whole tree, which is decked with ears of corn, brought home on the last wagon from the harvest field, and fastened on the roof of the farmhouse or of the barn, where it remains for a year. Mannhardt has proved that this branch or tree embodies the tree spirit conceived as the spirit of vegetation in general, whose vivifying and fructifying influence is thus brought to bear upon the corn in particular. Hence in Swabia the harvest may is fastened amongst the last stalks of corn left standing on the field. In other places it is planted on the cornfield and the last sheaf cut is attached to its trunk. Again, the tree spirit makes the herd to multiply and blesses women with offspring. In northern India the embouchure of Vishanalis is a sacred tree. On the 11th of the month Falgun, February, libations are poured at the foot of the tree, a red or yellow string is bound about the trunk, and prayers are offered to it for the fruitfulness of women, animals, and crops. Again, in northern India the coconut is esteemed one of the most sacred fruits, and is called Serifala, or the fruit of Sri, the goddess of prosperity. It is the symbol of fertility, and all through Upper India is kept in shrines and presented by the priests to women who desire to become mothers. In the town of Kwa, near Old Calabar, they used to grow a palm tree which ensured conception to any barren woman who ate a nut from its branches. In Europe the May tree or maypole is apparently supposed to possess similar powers over both women and cattle. Thus in some parts of Germany on the 1st of May the peasants set up May trees or May bushes at the doors of stables and barns, one for each horse and cow. This is thought to make the cows yield much milk. Of the Irish we are told that, they fancy a green bough of a tree, fastened on May Day against the house, will produce plenty of milk that summer. On the 2nd of July some of the winds used to set up an oak tree in the middle of the village with an iron cock fastened to its top. Then they danced round it, and drove the cattle round it to make them thrive. The Circassians regard the pear tree as the protector of cattle. So they cut down a young pear tree in the forest, branch it, and carry it home, where it is adored as a divinity. Almost every house has one such pear tree. In autumn, on the day of the festival, the tree is carried into the house with great ceremony to the sound of music and amid the joyous cries of all the inmates, who compliment it on its fortunate arrival. It is covered with candles, and a cheese is fastened to its top. Round about it they eat, drink, and sing. Then they bid the tree goodbye and take it back to the courtyard, where it remains for the rest of the year, set up against the wall, without receiving any mark of respect. In the Telugu tribe of Maoris, the power of making women fruitful is ascribed to trees. These trees are associated with the navel strings of definite mythical ancestors, as indeed the navel strings of all children used to be hung upon them down to quite recent times. A barren woman had to embrace such a tree with her arms, and she received a male or a female child according as she embraced the east or the west side. The common European custom of placing a green bush on May Day before or on the house of a beloved maiden probably originated in the belief of the fertilizing power of the tree spirit. In some parts of Bavaria such bushes are set up also at the houses of newly married pairs, and the practice is only omitted if the wife is near her confinement. For in that case they say that the husband has set up a May bush for himself. Among the South Slavonians a barren woman, who desires to have a child, places a new chemise upon a fruitful tree on the eve of St. George's Day. Next morning before sunrise she examines the garment, and if she finds that some living creature has crept on it, she hopes that her wish will be fulfilled within the year. Then she puts on the chemise, confident that she will be as fruitful as the tree on which the garment has passed the night. Among the Karakurbtis barren women roll themselves on the ground under a solitary apple tree, in order to obtain offspring. Lastly, the power of granting to women an easy delivery at childbirth is ascribed to trees both in Sweden and Africa. In some districts of Sweden there was formerly a bartrad or guardian tree, lime, ash, or elm, in the neighborhood of every farm. No one would pluck a single leaf of the sacred tree, any injury to which was punished by ill luck or sickness. Pregnant women used to clasp the tree in their arms in order to ensure an easy delivery. In some Negro tribes of the Congo region, pregnant women make themselves garments out of the bark of a certain sacred tree, because they believe that this tree delivers them from the dangers that attend childbearing. The story that Leto clasped a palm tree and an olive tree or two laurel trees, when she was about to give birth to the divine twins Apollo and Artemis, perhaps points to a similar Greek belief in the efficacy of certain trees to facilitate delivery.